Now, the vision statement of Wellinger Institute of Management B School, where we are all here right now, is to nurture thought leaders, and practitioners through inventive education. Let me explain this to you. As students of management in this institute, beautiful institute, I want you to know our statement is to nurture. Nurture means to make people, to hold hands with them, to encourage them, to give them all the basic inputs, to give them a very good, beautiful, encouraging space, all the necessary inputs, nurturing the person. You know, when a baby is trying to walk, toddler, how do we nurture? We encourage, right? And encouragement for growth is nurturing. Thought leaders, leaders who are into thinking. Thought leaders are the ones who are encouraged to do brainstorming, encouraged with the time available, and they are encouraged to think differently. A thought leader is a leader in thoughts. He is ahead of thoughts, ahead of a breakthrough in a thought compared to other people. So here we are nurturing people to come out with something very different and innovative, thought leaders. Because it's only thought leaders who make action leaders. So thought leaders and practitioners, not only thinking, but they have to put it into practice. We have a design course in this institute, one of the prestigious courses we have. And that is actually about thought leading and practicing. Put it into action. It's nice to talk about dreams. It's nice to be passionate about dreams. It's nice to show urgency to act. Have I put it into practice? Am I putting into practice towards a goal achievement? Am I into the action or not? Practitioners. And how do we do it? Through inventive education. Is this not an inventive education? The hybrid course. Inventive means something new. Something which never existed before. We have synthesizing, putting them together. We have you guys coming to the institute during the personal contact programs. We have you guys listening to us on the virtual class lecture sitting at your home. We also have you guys coming for various activities which we plan out. Some training programs, outbound activities like alpha, beta and gamma training. We also take you to certain spiritual camps. We have film learning sessions, movie learning sessions. Now all these things, are they not inventive? Are we not living up to our thought, vision statement by our top people? Now we are actually doing this. See the classrooms, this particular dialogue I'm having with you, which will be put in the net and you'll be all hearing it, hundreds and thousands of people. Now this is again a type of a video learning session that's very uniquely done by us. Many people do it, but we do it differently. And that uniqueness is what is coming out of the vision statement of our institute, to nurture thought leaders and practitioners through inventive education. So brief, so nice, easy to understand. I want each of you who are listening to me to go deeper into these words, to know what we stand. Check out, we are doing it. I'm sure you all know we are doing it. Every bit of this institute, right? The vision statement of Tata Motors, we are taking the next one. Okay, to be a world-class corporate, constantly furthering the interests of all its stakeholders. The words are carefully chosen. To be world-class corporate, constantly. World-class means, it's an important connotation. World-class means something in which I'm available to the whole world, wherever they want, whenever they want, at their terms, with my own vision being realized. World-class is the terminology we are using. We have a subject called world-class manufacturing. So when we say something is world-class, it means it's global. It's available everywhere. I'm not a citizen of one country, I'm the citizen of the whole global world, the global business. World-class. Corporate. Constantly, always striving to take ourselves further, our interests further to all the stakeholders. Everybody who's associated with me are my stakeholders. So how I create a vision statement for Tata Motors, how they created it, to be a world-class corporate constantly furthering the interests of its stakeholders. Some of these we have just shown you to know. We wanted to ponder over it. We wanted to provoke yourself into it. People see vision statements and they just pass away. Nobody sits down to know what it is. You as a B school student has to learn to understand how a vision statement is created, what it comprises. right? Now we come to the next stage, which is called the mission statement. Visions talk about what? Visions talk about what? What is my dream? My dream is ABCD. Tata Nano was a dream. What was a dream? What was the vision of Ratan Tata? Tata Nano, the common man's car. What? Then once the what is over, then I go to what is why and how. How am I going to make the car? Why should I make this car? Now this part of it is going to the next stage after the vision, which is called as a mission. The mission is giving you a type of articulation called as a mission statement, in which we little bit elaborate the vision. The vision is a very terse, concise statement with very important keywords which inspire you, which give you the passion, which make you connect with the dream of the visionaries. The mission, what does it do? The mission articulates it a little more elaborately, telling you the why and how of the vision. Why do we want to do this? And how are we going to go about doing it? That's what the mission does. It identifies the roles and activities to which every individual is committed and provides the overall direction for achieving the vision. It breaks it up. It transfers the vision to the people next in line. They need to be understanding the vision if they have to take it down, right? It's a roadmap for achieving the vision. Mission focuses on why you want to be doing what you want to be doing and how you want to do what you want to do. Why you want to do what you want to do and how you want to do what you want to do. I want to make passenger cars for the common man. Why do I want to make it? The why of mine will be different, will have a different answer compared to the why of someone else. So I have got to be very uniquely telling why I have this dream. Now I need to explain that. And then I come to how. How am I going to make it happen? What's my blueprint? What's my plan? I've got to give an idea about it. Because this is what it's converting the intangible called a dream, a vision, a passion into an action. So if I have to come to action, I need to have a rational, a thinking. Why do I want to do this? So once it is clear, then the mission becomes a mission statement. Mission focuses on the values and the principles upon which the being and doing are based. Very important thing to be understood. What is this values and what are the principles we are talking about? Any vision is based on something sublime, something which I want to offer to people. Now I can offer to people with a certain set of principles and values which will make this endeavor sustainable. Now what is values? Values are basically, it gives me the idea about what is right and wrong. There's a legitimate way of operating and there's an illegitimate way of operating. Something that furthers mankind towards peace, prosperity, growth, etc. That's important. We have outfits which are anti-social outfits, as we know. Now, do they have values and principles which are furthering mankind into joy and growth? No. Now, when we talk about vision and mission, it automatically comes for us to talk about values and principles. Now, this is something which is to be importantly understood and articulated by every one of us. I come to teach here, I take number of sessions, I train, I'm a corporate trainer. Now when I'm doing my job, I have a vision and the mission, but there's an ethical way I need to operate. I need to operate with certain principles, because those are the ones, permit me to say this, permit me to emphasize, those are the ones that take the vision and the mission on a sustainable basis towards the future glory. It's important. People draw visions and missions like a burst, it comes out, and after some time they get into some type of a thought process, some activities, some strategies which are not truly having values and principles supporting them. They played by the ear and suddenly you remember that these people they have to ask themselves a question: where was the vision? Where was the mission? Then they shrug it off and saying, the money is flowing, cut it out, it's okay. Unfortunately, what happens is people talk about vision and mission, organizations. When the money starts flowing in, people start giving you more and more business. We strongly believe, some many times erroneously, that we have achieved the vision and we are sustaining the vision. It's important for us to know that these two values and principles are the basic guidelines that ensure that the vision and the mission doesn't go haywire. They give you the ethical base, which is important, a solid foundation for taking things towards a goal. Otherwise, these two evaporate into the oblivion. In the recent past, in the last about 2 or 3 years, we've come across very thriving businesses, good brands in different industries, I'm not naming them right now, which have completely gone haywire. Somewhere the vision was lost, the mission was lost, because the ethical base was not there and things went haywire. Many businesses, many good startups with good vision in the background have failed principally because values and principles were completely knocked off at some stage. The sensitivity towards that was not available to the people. The visionaries themselves lost track. They were not centered. They went haywire. Right? And so that's a very important thing which we must learn to emphasize on. These statements should clearly indicate the important roles and the methodologies followed for fulfilling the vision. Who's going to play what role? Who's going to be, what sort of method we're going to approach, adopt? All those things have to be very clear-cut understood. Techniques and tools such as affinity diagram, brainstorming, fishbone diagram, which is also called as Ishikawa diagram, for getting into some root cause analysis of issues and all, okay? And surveys should be used. Different types of thinking tools, different types of decision making and problem solving tools have to be employed to understand what needs to be, how and the why of the what. We need to do that, right? Mission statement should realize the vision in action. One could conduct a mind map. There's a tool called the mind map. Some of you must be knowing about it. I'm a trainer in mind mapping. So this mind mapping tool is about brainstorming and putting all the ideas around a 360 degree direction. It's a central theme, and then people keep on talking and then we keep on mapping it. And with the map comes small icons, and it is all done in a colorful way. So when you do a mind map, you know, you find lots of ideas and lots of things coming up. And then the very vision, you start realizing the how and why of it from multiple sources, multiple people, right? These statements carry the information which needs to be fulfilled in the near future. Time factor may be brought into the in to make it more systematic. A mission statement, when the time factor comes into picture, what happens is that urgency to act starts gaining acceleration. It's very important, right? So, mission statement, again, we are coming to our own institute, beautiful institute, Wellinger Institute of Management, V School. And what is our mission statement? We focus on inventive education. How? By offering practical, innovative, and technology-driven programs. That's the how part of it. Provide managerial talent with risk-managing ability, passion for learning, and creative thinking, and values in rapidly evolving economic and social environment. Take each of the word and please read it. Pause. Digest it. Is this not what we are doing? Are we not acting our thoughts, our vision? Is this what all of you feel and experience or not? Check out. This is the elaborate part of the vision statement of V School. The how and why of it. Right? And further points are also there. Contribute significantly to Indian corporate world by preparing management graduates with global mindset. Build intellectual capital through faculty development programs, research, consultancy, and publications. Develop alumni, past students, alumni network of mutual benefit, and keep alumni updated through continuous learning and meetings. It's a closed loop. You learn, you graduate out, you go out, you work in industry, you get all your glory and promotions, and that you still stay tuned with us so that there is more and more forward learning that happens on both the fronts. Now, that was a mission statement of vSchool. Now, we come to mission statement of Wipro, the IT major. Be a trusted partner to our clients by providing transformation and SI services. Achieve thought leadership in emerging technology areas. Be perceived as a leader by relevant stakeholders among global IT service and BPO providers. This is what Wipro has articulated. Okay, now we come to the third stage. We talked about vision, we talked about mission. Vision is a what, and vision has got what? It's got a dream, a passion, and an urgency to act. Mission tells you the how and why of the what, called the vision. Now we need to take some action steps, tangible action steps on a time-bound basis. So we need to enter into the third stage called strategy. A very often used term, often abused term, I would also say, because people use strategy left, right and center without even knowing what it is. There are two words, strategy and plan. I would like to talk a little about it here. What is a plan? A plan is a timetable of events to come, which I map on a timeline. Some activities and resources I need to put into action for achieving a goal. So I need to plan. Now, when I'm going to the future, there are unknowns, right? So planning is about understanding the unknowns through some methods and then creating a timeline of activities and resources that need to be deployed for the future to achieve the goal. What is strategy? Strategy is also a type of a planning, but in a strategy, the timeline, the time stretch is too long. The unknowns are more than the knowns. A strategy comes from the word stratagem or strategos. Where was it used first? In the battlefield. In the battlefield, in the war front, can we predict where the enemy is going to come? When he is going to come? Intelligence reports will tell us that he is coming from northeast at 2 a.m. ambush. You will wait with your complete preparation, but surprise of surprise, they may come from some other direction. That too not at 2 a.m. They may come earlier or maybe later. So when the unknowns are more than the knowns, we need to have some system by which we are able to do some planning. So to my definition, to my mind, strategy is nothing but it involves a set of initiatives to be taken towards the future in which the unknowns are much more than the knowns. When the unknowns are not much more, they are manageable, they can be mapped, then we talk of a plan. I would say strategy is of a longer time frame and plans are basically of shorter time frames. In planning, we have long term, medium term, short term. In strategies also, we have long term, medium term, short term. Planning is all about taking action towards the goals which are more or less clear. Strategy, the challenge in a strategy is a time frame. And the goals are changing. When the time frame is longer, the conditions also keep changing. And that's where the challenge of strategy comes. So when we talk about a vision, vision is long term. Timeline is very long. So that's where to convert a vision into a goal, we need to have a strategy. Right? A strategy is a way of doing something. It usually includes formulation of an objective. That's the next step of the strategy. And a set of action plans for accomplishment of the objective. The study of strategic management emphasizes on monitoring and evaluating environmental opportunities and threats in the light of corporations' strengths and weaknesses. What is popularly called as a SWOT analysis. Strength, weaknesses, internal to the organization. Opportunities and threats which are external to the organization. So we map these two things. What are the strengths of my company? What are the weaknesses? How do they counterbalance? Are the strengths more, the weaknesses less, or is it the other way around? I map it. What are the opportunities and threats outside? Are the opportunities perceived by me more, or are the threats perceived by me more? How are they counterbalancing? Once this mapping is done, I get a certain type of mental preparedness about how to approach. not only how to approach, I know what I can do, what I'm capable of doing, what I'm not capable of doing. What is available there and what is not available there outside in the market. So these two have to balance. So we need a strategy. I would like to give you another view of strategy. The organization is a closed system within. Controls are there and we are taking care of an organization to produce quality goods and products, services. Organizations within have strengths and weaknesses. We can understand the strengths and weaknesses and we can try to strengthen the strength and weaken the weakness. That's more or less possible. But outside in the open, when you go outside, we have a total open system wherein rules are changing, everything is changing. It's a multi-variable ambience. Since things are changing so rapidly and we do not know what's going to happen next, that becomes an open system. So when I want to go from a closed system, after I'm producing quality products and services and I'm going to the open system, there's no guarantee that my quality products or services will click. I'm sure all of you agree on this. How to create a certain type of a set of initiatives to ensure that our success rate in that open system called the marketplace really clicks is strategy. First and foremost, take the war front. All of you will agree, strength and weaknesses of the army has to be first determined or not. Yes, I take the most able-bodied people in the front. The strengths have to be more than the weakness. Now, once that is taken care of, are we sure we'll win the war? No. Then these strong people will have to devise ways and means of attacking the unknown, which is more than the known. And when they do that, they need to go through what is also called as tactics. Situationally, I may have to change my decisions. And that's very tricky. Not everybody can do that. Take the commandos who came, the 26 by 11, when they came to Mumbai to rescue the people who were trapped by the terrorists. They had to take tactical decision. The strategy was they were walking into an unknown. They do not know what's going on where. They do not know how long it will take. They're trained into rescuing the people. So they adopted tactics. If you notice the clippings, they come from here, this doesn't work, they have to take another route. This is how the whole thing works. Right? So, taking it further, step number one, what do we do in a strategy? Strategic process has got certain steps. In the first step, we say we analyze the opportunities and threats or the constraints that exist external environment. There are two environments we come across, external environment and internal environment. So we have two analyses, external analysis and internal analysis. Okay. Number two, formulate strategies that will match the organization's strengths and weaknesses. I need to counterbalance opportunities and threats which are external with the strengths and weaknesses which are internal. Next comes step number three is implement the strategies, put them into action, evaluate and control activities to ensure that the organization's objectives are achieved. Step number four. Okay. Now we come to objectives. What are objectives? Objectives is explained here in the very first bullet point by me. Objectives constitute the purpose and the direction towards a goal. Underline purpose and direction towards a goal. This word is again used by many people in very loose context. This is my objective. This is what I want to do. Objective simply means once the strategies are clear, I need to have a proper direction and a proper purpose for which I am going to be achieving the goal. If I tell the purpose and give the direction to my pune to go and give a certain letter to a friend of mine in a certain place, the goal is the place. Everything is given to him clearly. If I give him the objective, will he be more effective or not? One can say, why give direction and purpose to the pune? Tell him to do it, he'll do it. Yes, he will do it. I'm not saying no. But when he does it, there will be an absence of something very important that is called as his own emotions and employee engagement. The sense of belonging comes when the objectives are clear. The sense of purpose comes when the objectives are known. The sense of direction is clear when the objectives are known. Merely telling somebody to achieve a goal without telling him the story around the goal would keep him disengaged. And more importantly, what will happen is when things go wrong, he doesn't have the skills and the tools and the resourcefulness to act with relevance of the situation. If I tell my peon, go to this place, meet this gentleman, give this letter, and then I tell him why he has to go and what's the purpose of giving this, if I give him the story, will he not feel a sense of belonging? He will. And then once he knows that it's crucial, when he goes there, if things go wrong, he knows how to take a corrective action, even if I'm not there, even if I'm not available on the phone. Is this empowerment or not? Yes. Objectives help you towards empowerment, because objectives give you the purpose and the direction. They add meaningfulness towards goal achievement and assist in employee engagement towards action. I've written it here. Every department should have well-defined objectives. It comes at the departmental level. It narrows down like a funnel that is tapering down. On the top, we have the vision, then we have the mission, then the strategies come, and gradually we are, when the neck of the funnel will take you towards the objectives and the goals, right? This is based on why the department exists and what are its broad expected outcomes. Okay. For example, the objective of the design department of an organization may be as follows: to design the product optimally using state-of-the-art technology, the best possible design. To design the product up to the delight of the customer found and checked using the state-of-the-art management tools. It has to be also customer-friendly. To incorporate innovativeness and flexibility in the design, to make it easy for the person to operate and also maintain and repair. Right? This is one example of an objective of the design department. Now we come to the final destination called the goal setting. I spoke about goal setting in the chapter number 1 also. Now we are repeating it, but with a different context, right? Now, goals are the ultimate targets that organizations wish to reach. Goals are the tangible output that finally result from the original vision. Goals are the ones that give the customer the sense of customer involvement, customer satisfaction. The goals are there, and we give the goals, the product or the service to the customer. So if the goals are properly, carefully thought out in line with the vision, then the vision is served when the customer is able to take the product or the service and use it, right? Goals are the outcomes of splitting the objectives into specifics. The objectives are the purpose and the direction, and there you make it a little more specific. This is what we need to do. The purpose and the direction is to give healthy drinking water to people. Now, how many bottles of drinking water you need to make, mineral water, XYZ? The specifics come to it, right? The goals ought to be smart. Goals ought to be smart. S-M-A-R-T. I've already explained it in chapter number 1. Okay? And SMART, as we know, stands for specific. We should be specific in our goal. For example, I want to become a manager is not specific. Many people say this. I want to become a marketing manager in an FMCG company, etc., 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 is more specific than the first one, because this gives the person a clarity what I want to be. It's very important. Next comes measurable. The goal must be measurable. For example, I want to secure 95% marks is measurable, as compared to I want to do well in studies. Very vague, very generic, right? Next one, attainable. Goals ought to be attainable, something which I should be able to attain and achieve, not something which I can't achieve, right? Our resources are limited, and so if one wants to buy a flat, let's say in a prime locality in Mumbai, and has only 5 lakhs, it would be not possible to buy a flat there, surely. Okay? Realistic. Goals ought to be realistic as well. One cannot dream of becoming a prime minister when one is not even become a municipal corporator. This example was given in chapter 1 also, right? Now, I'd like to also add on some input to you. Realistic can be seen like a circle. You can draw it in your books. Realistic is like a circle. This is what I call it as a circle of resourcefulness. What are the resources available with me? My realistic resources. How much of cash I have on hand? Let's say my realistic circle says I've got 1 crore rupees with me, then in the realistic circle stands a number of attainables, A1, A2, A3, A4, A5. Attainable is A. So if the realistic resources are mapped by me, I got 1 crore with me and I want to buy an apartment in Mumbai, then I know very well that this is my realistic resources. Now I have a choice of taking loan more than 1 crore from outside my resources and buy a flat. That's my risk taking capacity. Or I'll say nothing doing, I'm risk averse, I'll say within the 1 crore I'll see what is attainable. So what I'll do is I'll buy a flat maybe at 75 lakhs, 80 lakhs, have a savings of 20-25 lakhs. I may buy two flats, two small ones in different locations, each at 40-40, and yet have something saving with me. Now this is clear-cut thinking. And how do we go about buying flats, most of us? How do we go about setting our goals? Do we really go so systematic? No. So if you map your realistic picture, you'll find that things are happening very well. Let me add, in the recent last few years, there has been a lot of recession talk. Lots of things have gone wrong with companies. Companies which were realistic, companies which knew that this is where we stand, this is the type of risk we would like to take, they have survived the recession. They have survived and gone beyond, and they are still doing very well. Many companies are there. It boils down to these small things which we tend to ignore once we are into the process of our commercial working, right? So the last one is time bound. Goals have to be time bound. Obviously there is a start and a finish to everything. Okay, I want to get admission into a medical college in the year say 2015. It's very time bound, specific and time bound, right? Now continuous activities towards predetermined goals. I'm summing it up. Continuous activities towards predetermined goals. Set of disciplines with organized activities. Interdependence between customer and us would result in profits, goodwill, team effort, proper decision making. Goals are set for teams of people involved in certain specific achievements to be made. Goals are set for teams. Further, the team goals are split into individual specific targets. Your department has a goal, then it becomes individual activity-based targets for each of us, right? Targets make the individuals more comfortable with what needs to be done and within what time frame it needs to be executed. And finally, the action plans we talk about, detailed action plans have to be laid down next. This will assist individuals in achieving the targets. Who is achieving the target? The individual. There's one single solitary unit of the company, the human being, the resource. And there are so many people above him. If each of us is able to achieve our targets in line with the vision, driven by the passion of the vision, do you think the company will not do well? It will. The ups and downs of business cycles, you will be able to absorb only when you have a vision-based clarity. If the vision-based clarity is not there at the functional level, things go haywire. If it dilutes at the strategic level, we have wrong plans coming up. It's important that this vision remains a common thread from top to bottom. And that's the vision chart as a summing up final slide which I'm showing you, revisiting it, the vision at the top. Now when you see this after all my discussion, you'll be able to connect it better. The vision at the top, imagine this is like the clouds at the top, lots of energy, lots of passion, urgency to act. The cloud wants to come with a downpour. It wants to give a lot of water to us. The mission is taking it down. And then it goes into various different localities, objectives, departments. And each of the objective has got a goal. And the goals are further split into targets, action plans. And that, my dear friends, is all about visions to goal. With that, I thank you for listening. And have a beautiful time learning this subject and putting it into action. Thank you very much.